Good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the conference call of Allianz. On the occasion of the publication of the quarterly results for the third quarter of this year, for your information, this conference is being recorded. I would like to hand over to Mr. Groth now. Thank you very much. Good morning from Munich, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you most cordially to the presentation of the detailed results for the first quarter 2011, and I would now like to hand over to Oliver Bäte, the CFO of Allianz. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for taking your time for Allianz this morning. We know that a lot of companies are publishing their figures today, so I'm glad that you are going to listen to us to raise questions about our first quarter results. The figures of the first quarter, let me tell you at this point, of course, were heavily characterized by numerous natural catastrophes which occurred all over the world. What's most important is that not only we were affected by them, but especially our customers, and we want to protect them as well, and we are really working hard to help our clients. Of course, this is the key element of the work of our employees all over the world. It's not only been the disaster in Japan, but also in Australia and New Zealand, and yesterday we had an earthquake in Spain. We don't have any detailed information on this yet, but of course, we try to look after our customers who need our help now. Nevertheless, it's been a quite impressive quarter. I would like to present the various highlights to you of the figures of the first quarter. That's page three. Then successively, I will talk you through the individual components and the individual segments. Of course, I'm going to close with a summary in about 30 minutes. If there's anything you'd like to ask in between, or if I'm talking too fast once again, then please interrupt me in between. Of course, we'll also be happy to take your questions afterwards. In spite of these challenges, Allianz had a fairly good first quarter 2011. Revenues of 29.9 billion, which is a fairly high level. That's the second highest revenues level of all time. We always compare it to the previous year's first quarter, which was our absolute record high. Even this year's figures are very successful, and this means we are still on a fairly good growth track. Our operating profit almost on last year's level, although we had significantly higher losses stemming from natural catastrophes, as we'll see in a minute. So far, 737 million euros have been set up as provisions, which is significantly higher as well as. The net income amounts to 916 million euros, which is below last year's figure of about roughly 700 million. This has got various reasons. It's not only due to the natural catastrophes, but also due to low non-operating results. Last year, we realized gains from the sale of our shares in ICBC, the Chinese bank, and we had also positive profit of the value development with our investment in The Hartford. Of course, mark to market, we see a very volatile development, and we have a negative spread this year. In this quarter, we also have a temporarily higher tax rate, which is going to normalize this year. All of these three effects, from a technical point of view, have resulted in the net income being slightly lower this year. This is going to return to normal during the course of the year, so we're quite confident about this. Our capital position is still very strong, and we are here among the top of our industry, and our rating is still very strong. Ladies and gentlemen, on page four, you can see development for the various quarters in the usual structure. Here you can see very nicely that in spite of the decrease compared to Q1 of 2010, we are very close to a record quarter with revenues of 29.9 billion, operating profit at 1.66 billion euro, almost on last year's level, and the net income, I just described this a minute ago. We've got our capitalization on the following pages compared to the previous years. To the left, you can see the conglomerate solvency, which at 180% has reached a very solid level. Here you've got to bear in mind that interest rate changes, which are very important for our business, are not reflected in this. What's more important is the development of the shareholders' equity, which is slightly lower compared to the end of last year. Let me explain this to you. Usually, one would expect that for the quarterly results, that is after minorities of over 860 million euro, the equity would increase. But in shareholders' equity, we always have got two items causing volatility. On the one hand, the change of unrealized gains, and of course, differences from foreign exchange. Now, both were negative due to high interest rates. The unrealized gains on the fixed income side, especially on fixed income securities, have decreased by about 1 billion, and due to changes in foreign currency, the item was reduced by about 776 million euros, and thus our shareholders' equity has been reduced from 44.5 to 43.6 billion euros. And this has been heavily influenced by the change of these two items. And it's always an up and down, and right now with exchange rates, we're still expecting further volatilities. Nevertheless, our capitalization is very strong also compared to our competitors. On page 7, you can see the development of total revenues for the quarter, broken down for the individual segments. Compared to last year's quarter, the growth amounted to minus 2.2%. P&C plus 1.8, L&H minus 7.1. I will come back to this in a minute. We had a very strong quarter last year, so the comparison is a bit confusing because we still had very good developments in various areas. And in asset management, we continue our success story. In spite of rising interest rates, our fixed income business continues to increase. That's something which was not really expected. So excellent results in asset management. And on the whole, this also shows the nice diversification we've got in our revenue portfolio. Now, let me draw your attention to the development of the operating profit on page 8. Once again, you can see the individual segments and also the changes for the group in absolute figures to the right. Asset management plus 13%, corporate and others plus 11%. And here you can see very nicely also the changes in property and casualty due to natural catastrophes, minus 6.9%, and life and health insurances, minus 15.9%. Now, if you want to interpret the 700 million, in our forecast for the operating profit for the end of the year, we specified a range between 2.2 and 2.8 billion euros, and with the 700 million, we would be just on track for the upper limit of our outlook. So we are quite satisfied looking at our plans, quite satisfied about these results for the first quarter, because we still have an impact from lower interest rates, and we also are adjusting the credit guidelines for our products. And as I told you before, when it comes to realization, we are very conservative, considering the volatility on the capital markets. So, relative to the environment, we're quite satisfied with the result. And I will come back to property and casualty in just a minute. On page 9, you can see the development of the non-operating items. And now, for a non-financial expert, this looks a bit complex. Therefore, let me pick out the two or three most important items on this page. Now, the first line shows an important item, which has always been very volatile historically. You can also see it if you compare the first quarter of 2009. Realized gains are heavily driven by the capital market environment. In the first quarter, they amounted to 303 million euro, which is about 400 million below the first quarter of 2010, which was a very strong one. Also, as we had the realized gains from ICBC, which last year amounted to 522 million euro compared to 129 million euros this year, so significantly lower as predicted. And by the way, the non-realized gains for the remaining stock of ICBC amount to about 221 million euros. The interest expense from external debt more or less stable, about 225 million euros. From the fully consolidated private equity investment, we've got reduced losses of 90 million euros. Restructuring charges in this quarter were more or less negligible, and the so-called acquisition-related expenses, which as in the past relates to the planned purchase of so-called buy units with PinCorp, they are slightly above plan because profitability of PinCorp is developing very nicely. However, at this point, about 8% of all buy units have already been purchased. It's not 17,000 CU units yet, which we are going to purchase very soon, and then the entire profit from FinCo will then also be included as a net income in the Alan figures. I can tell you at this point that we are quite satisfied that by purchasing minorities asset management this quarter generated the best net income of 300 million euros, the best net income of all times. The other non-operating expenses have been broken down into two items, amortization of intangible assets. They are not really too relevant this quarter. What's more important is the income from financial assets and liabilities carried at fair value. Compared to the last quarter, it's a change of about 118 million euros, and as just described, this mainly includes the changed valuation for warrants at Hartford. Now the background to this, for those who are technically interested in this, Hartford have increased their dividend and the share price did respond to that significantly, and this results in a lower market value as a response. And this is very difficult for us to predict this item. It could look entirely different in the next quarter. So all in all, let me tell you that our investment in Hartford through the three types of shares, equities and bonds was still highly attractive. A final comment on this page, if I may draw your attention to the right hand half. We always show the balance of unrealized gains and losses in equities and fixed income, and with the increase in interest rates as just mentioned, especially the non-realized gains from fixed income have decreased from 3.2 to 1.5 billion euros, and as to be expected within an environment of rising interest rates. Now, the net income for the quarter on page 10, so it is based upon the two components of operating profit, as just discussed, and non-operating items. And let's finally have a look at the taxes. This year we've got an effective tax rate of 38.4%. which compares to a tax rate in the first quarter of 2010 of 19.5%. Now, which of course was especially favorable due to the SECO sentence. We discussed this intensely last year, and that's why for the net income we see that major change. Both of these tax rates were not representative for the overall net income for the year. And once again, let me tell you that net income for a quarter are not really a good indicator, especially if they are driven by tax rates for the entire year. So much for the group figures, and now I'd like to continue with property and casualty, starting on page 12 of your handout. Natural catastrophes are, of course, the key issue for this industry. Allianz was also affected by it, as just described, also during our AGM. And I will give you some more details on this in just a minute. Revenues increased by 1.8% gross, adjusted for an exchange rate of by about 20 basis points. And in some markets, we still are losing volume in order to protect our margin. But on the other hand, we have to increase prices also due to a higher losses which we have incurred, and that's why we can offset, we can use these higher volumes for offsetting. The operating profit, as we just said, is down about 7% to 663 million. The combined ratio for the quarter is 101.3%, it's hardly surprising, and without natural catastrophes, the trend for the financial year loss ratio would be rather stable, so it develops quite nicely. And if natural catastrophes are reduced on a normal level for the overall year, then we will, in the end of the year, see a fairly good result. Natural catastrophes by this year amounts to 7.6 percentage points alone, so this is really a very high impact. But let me point out that compared to the competitive segment, this is still quite acceptable. And I also would like to underline that compared to many other discussions that we're having with competitors, we are still able to post a fairly good operating profitability. Almost all of our international competitors have got lower figures, which once again underlines the strength of our portfolio. Page 13 shows the key elements on growth broken down into the individual countries. These are just selected markets, not all of them, but rather the biggest ones. The German-speaking countries, Europe, including South America, global insurance lines and annual markets and growth markets, and then NAFTA at the bottom. And of course, it all depends very much on profitability and growth, and we are still managing our portfolio very systematically, and we don't have increasing prices and profitability in all markets. That's why we are taking a very differentiated approach. There are markets where we see nice growth rates because profitability is good and the economy overall is doing very well. Have a look at South America, growth of almost 39%, very strong results, and profitability is also quite good considering the overall framework, with a combined ratio of below 97%. So that's exactly what we'd like to have. And then there are other markets where profitability is not sufficient and where we still have to try to improve profitability further.
Well, the individual market I wouldn't want to discuss right now because of time restraints, but if you do have any questions, but we have had a great growth of over 20 basis points. And in some core markets, the profitability wasn't according to our ideas. Okay, page 14 shows the individual components, the technical results because of NatCats has decreased by 97 million. The investment result is positive, was 49 million because of an increased capital base. So we want to make sure that we expand our investments. Apart from that, all the other results haven't really been changed. Now look at page 15, please. Here, apart from the combined ratio for the individual units, I also wanted to show you the influence of the net cats on the right-hand side. One more comment about Germany. In Germany, we did not have any impact of natural catastrophes in the first quarter. Nevertheless, we had damages from the fourth quarter of last year, which is just an accounting effect, which you can ignore here. The main impacts are in the units which you see down below, especially when it comes to our reinsurance component, then also the AGCS, which is a global industry insurer and which has been affected, for example, in Australia where we had great burns, but also in the U.S. where it will continue, where the problems are still occurring right now. And if you do have any questions about that, in our quarterly report we have said about the floods in the U.S., we have conservative estimates. We expect a burden of about $60 million, but these are preliminary figures, so it's probably better to wait here. We have, taken a conservative approach. Then the costs have been... the expense ratio was at 28%, slightly lower than the previous quarter. Now let's take a look at page 16 here. This is a breakdown of the budgeted NatCat losses. Normally we have about 270 million. That's what we usually budget pro rata. We have booked 740 million total. The largest part stems from Japan and also from the earthquakes in New Zealand and the events in Australia. And it's quite important that all of these figures, of course, are subject to change in the future. Then now on page 17, this is the most technical page usually. We usually get a lot of questions about it, but it's nevertheless quite important for a property casualty company like ours because it shows you the loss ratio which we calculate for the overall year without comparing it to previous year's losses. And here it shows you the trend including and excluding NatCats on the right-hand side. In the individual graphs, you can see that the loss ratio, excluding NatCats, has improved, has shown a downward trend for the past five quarters, which you can see on the right-hand side. The volatility results mainly from the natural catastrophes. And when you take a look at the bottom left, So what changes the loss, accident year loss ratio compared to the previous years? You have three factors. On the one hand, you have increasing frequencies of losses and also the severity. So especially the severity has increased. Then we have had a positive effect of 70 basis points. And then we had the negative development versus the previous year, plus 1.7 percentage points of more in terms of net cats. We were at 5.9% in the first quarter, and that has an influence. But that's why we are an insurance industry. We want to cover natural catastrophes, and we have to be able to handle that. And one more thing for your information, we have also done an analysis. Usually the burdens in the first quarters are quite high. They can also be high in the third quarters relating to storms in the U.S., but we expect across the year a normalization. And the second result is in the last year we have increased our budget for natural catastrophes to 2.8 points in the loss ratio, so that we have not taken up our budget yet. We still have 400 million set aside within our budget for natural catastrophes for the rest of the year, and that's why we are optimistic for the development of our portfolio overall. Now let's take a look at page 18. Here we have the development of our expense ratio. Here the trend continues. The administrative expenses have been improved quite nicely through the programs which we have had in place for many years in automation, increase in efficiency. But also when it comes to our competition, we have increased our acquisition expenses. And we have to strike the right balance here between profitability on the one hand side and customer service on the other hand side. And that's why we have invested during the crisis in our customer service, which is also reflected in these expenses here. On page 19 and 20, we have two more graphs about property casualty. They show you the result of the investment portfolio and the yields of our investment portfolios. We have seen a nice growth here, now to 96.3 billion euro, and the yield which we have been able to achieve in the segment were also quite nice. On the equity side, we were slightly above plan, which was something that will not repeat in the following quarters. On page 20, you can see that the operating investment income has increased when you look at the overall sum by 0.63% compared to the first quarter of last year. And then the interest and similar income is also slightly above plan at 896 million. So we have gone well through the crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, these were my comments about property casualty so far. Maybe later on we will have time to discuss individual parts. Now I'd like to move on to the next section, which is life and health. Here we like to compare ourselves to the previous year's quarter, and that's why the good figures don't look as good. Our colleagues have done an excellent job also in the first quarter when it comes to revenues, but also when it comes to profitability. Revenues have slightly gone down by 40.3 billion. Nevertheless, a very good result for the first quarter. Then the investment results are at 490 billion, and here we have had net inflows of 1.7 billion euro. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just point out that the CFO, when it comes to life and health, we don't look at the revenues, but we look at the operating asset base, which is an important indicator, and also the net inflows are of great importance. We are one of the few companies who has had such great net inflows. Despite the crisis, we had only net outflows in Italy because of 300 million, to the tune of 300 million. We had the amnesty law in Italy, which had an influence. And that is a very beautiful result overall that we have had net inflows in such an environment. The operating profit also is a very respectable result at 702 million, and according to plan, and our new business margin at 2.2% is very profitable. We're quite happy with this figure, and we have shown a nice development in some markets, especially in the U.S., where in the past year we had some difficulties because of the low interest environment, and we have dealt with that accordingly. Now let's take a look at some more details. On page 23, you see the development of the revenues from investment-oriented products as well as from the IFRS payments. And here we still see a growth. We still have the volatility in some investment products that will continue to be like that in a few years. That depends on the development of the interest rates. We will always see fluctuations here. Nevertheless, we're quite happy with our development here. On the right-hand side, on page 23, you see the individual results. No, this is not a typo. The values at Allianz Leben stand at 3.919 billion. We did not expect such a development. Also, the product mix showed a nice development in Germany. We have seen an increase in traditional business of about 270 million. And also, when it comes to savings products, so-called savings products, we have shown a positive development. So the structure of the business has shown an overall positive development. We have seen a decrease in France. As I said, we had done special campaigns last year, and I hope that will normalize during the course of the year. And also Italy, I described Scudo Fiscale is the main keyword here. In other areas, we have seen a nice growth. In Asia, the natural catastrophes had a major effect, especially in Japan. Our Japan business has been showing some losses here that was to be expected, and also in Eastern Europe, we still have the effects or after effects of the financial crisis. The U.S., I have already mentioned, a very nice development towards a record level of the fourth quarter, 09, on the very left, as you can see. Now let's take a look at page 24. As I have already described, the net inflows and the development of the operating asset base, as we call it, we have had negative effects because of the market. We have seen an increase in the interest rate, but also exchange rate effects, which had an effect on our result in the first quarter, not only when it comes to our capital base, but also when it comes to revenues. But what's most important are the net flows, so that, it shows it reflects the trust of our customers. They're giving us their money. And on the right-hand side, you can see that Allianz Leben has grown quite nicely, 300 million plus in the U.S., 600 million, and also in Asia, we have a plus of 300 million. Also during the rest of the portfolio, 800 million. Goes to show our nice diversification because of our global approach. We can offset the weaknesses of particular markets. So that is a very solid result also in the long term. Now let's take a look at the operating profit on page 25. Here the components, technical result, investment result, expense result. When we look at the technical result, it is mostly we have had changes in the methods here. Some adjustments had to be made to reserves. When it comes to the investment result, we see changes. Here we have differences in the net income, which we had to adjust to conservative market developments. We have taken a cautious approach for future revenues, which we want to share with our customers. And then we have seen an improvement in the expense result, plus 24. And we also wanted to have a balanced result here. That was our goal. Now let's take a look at the average asset base and also the current yield that can be compared to what I said before about property casualty. Here we have had a slightly different situation with equities because our equity structure is slightly different compared to property casualty. The investment result with over 4 billion is quite stable. And also when it comes to efficiency, we are on our target course. Now, let's take a look at page 28. It takes a look at our new business. We We used the same methods for all the new insurance companies when we want to measure new business. We had a lower result in the fourth quarter of 2010 that has increased to 2.2 in the first quarter of this year. When we look at interest, we are below the first quarter of 2010. That's why the new business margin is slightly lower as well. And also, we had the absolute low in the interest curve in the third quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, the calculation method also has an after effect. Usually one or two quarters later, we see the effect of the calculation. So the most important thing is on the right-hand side, that is the value of the new business or the development of the new business, which was driven, which has increased to 240 million. So also for the year as a whole, we are striving to get good results, and we're quite happy with the results in life health as well, despite the difficult environment.
And it is now my pleasure to discuss the last segment, asset management, because they did very well this quarter again. Now, asset management shows the diversification of our portfolio. The economic environment in property and casualty are extremely difficult, and in life and health, they are still characterized by strong volatility, especially in the markets for corporate and government bonds. However, our asset management business has become an important factor of stability. In the first quarter, total assets under management amount to 1.492 billion euros, and here foreign exchange effects, of course, do play a key role. Once again, we had third-party net inflows, which is something you cannot take for granted, especially not for debt securities. Many of our competitors had net outflows, and the operating profit is up by 13.3% on a similar line as the total assets. With a cost-income ratio of 58.5%, we have reached an absolute peak value still and again, which means we are all around satisfied with the development in asset management. Here's some details. Page 31 shows the total assets under management and their growth by about 14%. Here you've got to bear in mind that the figure would have been much better if we hadn't had the US dollar development. Almost 54 billion euros compared to the end of the year is accounted for by negative foreign exchange effects. The net inflows on page 32, 13.6 billion. Considering the environment, this is a very nice figure. And page 33, here you can see the net fee and commission income being up due to the high asset base. And thus, the expected decrease in performance fees can easily be offset, and with a total margin of 39.8 base points, this is a really top figure. We are changing the portfolio. We are reducing the dependency on total return funds of Bill Gross. So we have diversified into multi-asset products, and this, of course, has got a nice effect onto the stability of the assets and the performance of our customers, as we'll see in just a minute. And also, of course, it is positive for all shareholders. So it's a real win-win. Page 34 shows the operating profit of 528 million euro for the quarter, just on track for a good result for the year. Of course, we don't know how the further year is going to develop. If there's further form volatility, then it can change easily. But right now, we're still right on track. Page 35 and also 36 gives you an overview for development in individual segments. On the one hand, fixed income and then equities. Both were positive. With the fixed income, what's significant is the 3 years outperformance, 92% for the first quarter, top figure, and this once again reflects itself in net inflows for fixed income. It was net 17 million alone. In equities, profitability also increased as well, so our efforts for restructuring do still pay off. Our cost-income ratio now amounts to less than 74%. By the end of the year, we were on a good industry average, and we are still improving, and the 3 years outperformance has also improved to 68%, another nice figure. We had net outflows in the first quarter, but here we also have to bear in mind that there are negative forex effects to be taken into consideration, and the equities markets are much more volatile, so the entire industry is struggling with major fluctuations, and this is hardly going to change in the rest of the year. Now, I would like to summarize my talk with the information on page 38. We believe that with total revenues for the quarter of almost 30 billion, we are on a very good level. Operating profit of 1.7 billion, almost on last year's level, in spite of severe increases still resulting from natural catastrophe losses. The net income for the quarter is mainly driven by non-operating results and temporarily higher tax rates, and the underlying development will normalize during the year, and our capital position continues to be very strong, which means we feel we are just on track to reach our outlook. Now, we were a bit criticized for the somewhat conservative outlook. I'm very glad about this because nobody would have been able to predict the natural catastrophes, but the we saw volatilities in the corporate and government bonds and also in equities, and natural catastrophes are still a major impact. That's why we will remain conservative, and we're convinced that Allianz will be able to master this challenge as expected. And now I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk here on your telephone keypad, followed by the digit 1. Please ensure that the mute function of the telephone is switched off to allow our signal to reach us. We'll take questions in the order received, and we'll take as many time as time permits. So once again, please press star 2. And it's now Michael Fleming from Börsen Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Bethe. Michael Fleming, Börsen Zeitung. I've got questions on three topics: on capitalization, natural catastrophe development, development in Germany. Firstly, capital position. Now, you're at solvency rate of 180%. Now, the old goal of 150 to 170%, this is still valid. And how do you view the capitalization? Is it still strong enough? Because the market still points out that there's too much money collected. Second question, you discussed natural catastrophes in detail. The total budget has been increased to 2.8%. And what was the development last year? And if you look at the development in the first quarter, now, although there's a strong impact in the first quarter, could it be that in the medium term this budget still has to be raised, that is for the next 2 to 3 years? Fourth question on Germany. In the markets where in property and casualty we do have some difficulties, so here we see that price increases can be implemented, Italy, France, and the UK and the United States, the only exception being Germany with plus 0.1%. Now, how do you assess the further development? Do you still have to struggle so heavily against the market? Yes, so thank you very much, Mr. Fleming, for your questions. Let me come back to that. Yes, capital, yes. In the middle of the first decade, we said 150 to 170% is our target for conglomerate solvency, but that was before the new capital requirements of the rating agencies were implemented. Now, we do have various terms capital to bear in mind. The conglomerate directive always used to be an important minimum requirement for us. Then we've got the AA rating with a stable outlook, and this also entails certain requirements. Then we've got the economic model that we've got to bear in mind, which we cannot neglect. And then, of course, the IFRS shareholder equity. Shareholder capital. The conglomerate directive, to come back to your question, is no longer the decisive requirement for us anymore because it doesn't respond to the most important risk to us, namely the interest rate risk. Now, as you certainly will know, changes in unrealized gains and losses, and thus the response of the portfolio to the interest rate, are not reflected in the conglomerate solvency. And that's why the most important parameters for us are the rating, where we're doing quite well, but still, we cannot sit back and just relax because the interest rate risks are still quite significant on the capital side. And then there's also our internal model, which step by step is to approach Solvency II. And although we have had some confusion on Solvency II for a couple of weeks, but still the interest rate risk in life insurance is one of the key drivers, which is still high for us in spite of our interest rate they are still on a fairly low level, also compared to our long-term liabilities. So this means we feel quite comfortable within the competitive segment, but our capital situation is still something we're taking a thorough look at, also on the way towards Solvency II. So these are the key parameters. So collecting or accumulating capital, which you just said, and you said we've got too much capital in our balance sheet, that's something I cannot subscribe to. We have discussed this repeatedly in the past. Of course, recently we issued liabilities replacing shareholders' equity in order to maintain leeway for the future, whether we will use this capital to replace other liabilities, that remains to be seen, depending on the development of Solvency II. Now, I think the internal model also is at 177%, which is fairly high. So could you give us a new range of where you feel at ease? Well, I will do so in due time, Mr. Fleming. That's quite good. I will do that exactly when I know the results of Solvency II. Only in the end of June will we know about half of the truth, because then the so-called Level 2 implementation directives are to be issued, and only then will we enter Level 3, namely the specific figures. So I believe that only by the end of this year will we able to clearly say what the requirements are, and then of course we will discuss the proper range with you. One final comment on this. Solvency II will not only include higher requirements than in the past, but it will also include more volatile ones. So the bandwidth and the level that we will have to aim for will be higher to cover possible volatilities, but trust me, I am more than anxious to finally find out what the results are, but it's not up to you, but currently it's up to the regulators and their discussions. Second question about natural catastrophes. In the past, we had the budget between 2.2 and 2.4, and a few years ago, Mr. Perle said 2% of the combined ratio is earmarked for natural catastrophes. And for 2010, this had already been increased to 2.4% and now to 2.8%. You're quite right. We're keeping a permanent close eye on the development of NatCat with our team. And if necessary, of course, the NatCat budget will be increased. Now, there are two elements. On the one hand, the frequency and severity of these losses, and how does our portfolio change? Because in our portfolio, we might see some growth in high exposure areas, and of course, as an insurance company, are available to cover such risk for our customers. Now, Germany, and here the situation is as follows. There is still an enormous and fierce competition, and the capitalization of the industry. Well, here we still have insufficient profitability on the whole, but furthermore, the companies feel still at ease, and experience shows that companies rather prefer to lose capital rather than lose customers. And especially, of course, we do have some provisions for fluctuations which can cover losses at least for a certain period. And we and our experts, we do not expect a substantial improvement in our pricing position based upon a reasonable behavior. Now, this means that Allianz can only improve by keeping a close eye on our loss ratio and by further reducing our overall operating expenses in order to protect our margins. And at the same time, of course, we also must make sure that we serve our customers properly and well. So we cannot hope for the market to improve our results. This is something which we have to achieve through proper management efforts. Thank you very much. Next question. It's Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones. Good morning to everybody. I've got three questions. PIMCO, now to purchase the remaining B shares, how much is that going to cost? Then in absolute figures, what is the budget for natural disasters this year? I think it was last year something like 800 million, if the interpreter heard that right. And I think share buyback is not going to be an issue, if I got you right. Thank you very much. Ms. Dauer, I ask for your understanding that I cannot specify details on individual capital measures. It always depends on the market environment. So here, I ask for your understanding. for no comments being given on capital measures. Now, you can easily calculate the budget by taking 267 million multiplied by 4, so it amounts to 1.1 to 1.2 billion euro, depending on the exchange rate, because we set up the budget on the basis of the local currencies in the countries with the remaining B shares. We can purchase them up to the year 2016. At the same time, the managing directors at PIMCO do have a tender right that also runs until 2016. And this decision will always be taken when the corresponding deadline has been reached. That's why, as of today, no specific price for the respective B units can be given. But you can look at the development of profitability over the years, so there are various factors having an influence onto this development. Now, so far, it's been a good investment, and therefore our intention is to purchase the buy units at the respective times, but not specify any clear amount. But rest assured that the expenses which we had in the last couple of years will be decreased successively. Thank you very much.
Next question, please. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind you, if you do have a question, please press star plus one to ask a question. And we now have Jonathan Gold from Reuters. Good morning. I have three questions. Can you hear me now? Very good, Mr. Gold. Go ahead. Well, first of all, there were some analysts this morning which said that the normalized combined ratio was slightly disappointing. And I just wanted to ask whether you could say something about what you expect for this year in terms of the combined ratio. I know it's hard to say, but without NatCats, for example, you have to have a certain target for this year. My second question, you said that you expect in your quarterly report, you expect a slight increase in terms of prices, but that will not be sufficient in order to balance out the other problems you have, such as inflation, natural catastrophes, other costs, et cetera. Could you tell us what you expect in terms of price increases, premium increases for property casualty? And then you also said, thirdly, that you are in a better mood as far as Solvency II is concerned. So what gives you more confidence that you will be able to, or that the problems will be solved for 2013? Is that just general optimism, or do you have some indications, clear indications for that, that something is changing? Well, these are my three questions. Well, the NatCat burden in the first quarter, taking that loss of the first quarter, it's hard to say what will happen during the course of the year. We expect a normalization during the rest of the year, as I previously said. We had an initial budget of a combined, or an initial combined ratio of 96% with a budget for NatCats for 2.8. As I said, we had 7.6 during the first quarter, and now it depends on your calculations whether you believe that the budget will be sufficient or not. In the underlying portfolio, we have seen quite a nice development. I've said that the combined ratio without NatCat is actually showing a positive development, but now we have to expect also quarters with less than 96%, and we're working on that, and we're very focused on that. Well, an increase in premium prices. Well, always keep in mind we always have a... We always try to, through our loss management measures, the inflation of 2.3% we want to balance out. That we have always been successful in the past when you look at frequency and severity of the losses. We were always below the normal inflation. So what does that mean? The effects during the past year, the price effect on the loss ratio were 70 basis points. If you have 2 to 3% loss inflation, how can that be sufficient? That can only work if you balance out the nominal inflation, and that's why this is a... I believe that we will be able to offset the nominal inflation through losses, through management measures. Now, about the topic of Solvency II, you saw too much optimism in our remarks, I guess. We're still worried about the developments in terms of Solvency II. The only positive thing is that the deadlines will come closer. So that's the only positive thing, so that we're still worried that, especially when it comes to our capitalization for life insurance and for long-term guarantees, we still believe that we will have very high capital requirements of such a nature that they will also, because we have a lot of volatility there, the management of such a business becomes difficult. We have tried to make suggestions, very precise suggestions, also in the interest of our customers, and we are hoping that our suggestions will find their way into the implementation. We are present in all the deciding bodies, and we have a very good dialogue with our regulators. Can I say that everything will be excellent? No, I cannot say that, because there are so many people working on that, apart from the regulator and the commission, also the different member states. It's a very heterogeneous group with heterogeneous demands, and to manage that is quite difficult. So I cannot say everything is great about Solvency II. Okay, next question. The next question will be by Mr. Herbert Römer from Financial Times Deutschland. I have two questions. PIMCO had a campaign and warning against buying U.S. government bonds. So is there a conflict of interest between Allianz and the subsidiary PIMCO? And the second question is, what about the discussion when it comes to the restructuring of the debt in Greece? Well, thank you, Mr. Frome. Thank you for your questions, and good morning. Well, first of all, the first topic about U.S. government bonds. No, we don't have any different interests, because the interest of PIMCO and Allianz is that we give good advice to our customers and that we also manage our assets well. Well, the situation is that PIMCO has very specific customers with very specific investment interests, and that's why PIMCO has taken such a position, especially Bill Gross. And that is the first observation, and because the real interest rate is negative in the U.S., it is not attractive to invest in certain papers on the basis of the current yield. That is just the way it is. So this is not something about the overall attractiveness of particular papers, but it is about a particular point of time. And also, when you look at alternatives, when you look at the performance of PIMCO during the first quarter, it showed again that they were doing the right thing, especially with emerging markets and other asset classes, and that was good for our investors and for our customers and for the Allianz as a whole. The second topic, the situation in Greece, we don't want to comment on the different measures and how they should be done and implemented. That is mainly going to be decided by the politicians. I can only say from Allianz's side, we are well prepared for whatever is going to happen. We are in a position to live with every restructuring method that will be decided upon. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask you again that if you do want to ask a question, please press star and one to ask a question. Make sure you deactivate your mute button. So please press star one to ask a question. Apparently, we have no further questions at this time. Sorry for interrupting, but there is one follow-up question by Mr. Jonathan Gold from Reuters. Well, thank you. I just wanted to ask you about your equity exposure. You mentioned 7% at the end of the quarter, and what will it look like in the months to come? Do you expect to reduce that in the months to come, or will you actually expand that, increase that? Well, Mr. Gold, we're not going to make any statements about such things, our managers, well, with our equity ratio, we are quite comfortable right now, and we don't plan to change that. All right, do we have any further questions? We do not have any further questions at this time. Well, I'd like to thank you for your participation. I wish you a great day, and see you again next time. Ladies and gentlemen, this closes today's conference. We'd like to thank all the participants. I wish you a great day.